Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day today. And I want to upfront apologize if my voice ends up sounding stuffy because Scott and I have just overcome this horrible respiratory bug, and I still have some lingering cough and congestion happening. And I think I'll share a little bit about the things that helped us in my next Homemakers Chats video, because there were a few key things that I really do think helped. And normally, when we get sick, we get over it like super quick. This time, though, it was a real struggle. It was very tough. But I want to stay focused on today's topic and not tangent off onto a Homemakers Chats topic. So, today, I am continuing on with our conversation that we had in our last video on the Biblical Womanhood, Building the Home Economy series. The topic was on androgyny and how we live in a culture that tries to make woman and man as if they are the same, to function the same. And that's basically the definition of the word androgyny is functioning the same, having masculine and feminine characteristics, the blending of genders. And I mean, you can even look up the word in Wikipedia, and it's so interesting because there is a section on gender roles or gender expression or something, and it said how gender roles is a social construct. And I was talking to Scott about this, and he was like, "No, gender roles is definitely a God construct. The opposite, androgyny, would be the social construct because it's only been within the past 100, 150 years that we have tried to blend the genders. Because if you look 150 years ago, the definition of androgyny was completely different than what it means today." And I think I've said in that last video that my old dictionaries, I looked up the definition, and it literally means when there's male and female parts. So that was the case in history for the word androgyny to be used, whereas now the word androgyny is the blending of genders. And the more I think about this topic, the more it's just kind of mind-blowing that this is where we are as a culture. One, this is something to talk about. And two, that there's pushback against it. It's laughable to me. It's so funny to me that there is pushback against God's design, that God made man and God made woman, and he made us uniquely different, equal in value. He loves us both, but he made us to function completely uniquely to do what God has called us to do here on earth, to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And so I hope that with my whole channel that you will find that you love being a woman, that you love that God made you a woman, and that you love what you get to do as a woman. Praise God. I am so thankful that God made me a woman. I'm so thankful for the sphere of dignity that I have to take care of, and even though there's things that I feel like I'm not very good at, and we can bring those things to the Lord. God, can you help me with this? Can you help me figure out a better system with this? I want to be the best wife that I can be. I want to be the best homemaker that I can be. And there are areas that I know that I can do better in, that I know I can grow in, and I can grow in my talents in. And we can bring those things to God and see how He directs our steps and see how He helps us, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will help us. And it's fun to see how God will help us. It's fun to see how God will provide for us. Little things, big things, just moments when you're like, "God, you totally answered my prayer. Thank you. Thank you for helping me with this." Or praying that God will direct your steps today. Like yesterday, I had this idea in my mind of the things that I wanted to get done. And the thing that I actually ended up doing was cleaning out our deep freezer and refrigerator and top freezer of our refrigerator. And at the end of the night, I was like, "Wow, I didn't really get done anything that I wanted to do today, but the refrigerator looks amazing. The freezer looks so good. It's organized." And this morning, when I was making our smoothie and just seeing everything in its place, seeing what we have, it was just so amazing. And I was like, "Wow, that wasn't my plan for today, but I prayed yesterday morning that as I make a plan in my heart that God would direct my steps, and I really feel like God directed my steps to deep cleaning our refrigerator. And so these are the things that's fun. It's fun to be a woman. It's fun to take care of our homes. And you can do it in a way that's unique to you, to your personality, to your style. You don't have to do it the way that someone on the internet told you how to clean your house or told you how to do something, but to find what works for you, how God designed you, because you are uniquely different. And so the style, your things that you like I know that there are people who would hate my style. Having jars out would just be awful for them. They don't want anything sitting out, whereas I like to see my jars out. That's my style, but that's unique to me. That's unique to us, the things that we like. And so it's finding what brings you joy, what makes you excited, what makes you come alive. And so I say all of that to get back to the topic on androgyny. It's always very interesting with any of these videos where I discourage college for young ladies and I discourage the career route, and I'll always get comments from ladies who say, you're so ungrateful for what the feminist movement has done for you. Like, you're so ungrateful. I mean, that's usually the key line that's used, is how ungrateful I am for the women who have fought for the rights that I have today. And the truth is, I have zero control over the past. What has been done. It is done. And so, yes, women do have the right to go to college, but does that make it right for a woman to go to college? Is it in her best interest to go to college? Just because we have the choice to go do something doesn't mean that that's the very best thing that we as women should go do. Just because women have the right to be a police officer or to join the military does not make it the best choice to join the military or to become a police officer. Just because a woman can become a lawyer doesn't mean it's in her best interest or in society's best interest for her to become a lawyer. And so now that we are at a place in history where we do have all of these choices, we believe it brings even more weight to the choice to not go along with what the popular culture is pushing women into. Because that's the reality of it. We live in a popular culture that is pushing women into masculine roles. We live in a popular culture that speaks to young ladies and young men as if they are the same, as if there's zero difference between the two of them. And as I'm saying those things, it may come to your mind, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't know if popular culture is treating young men and young women as the same. I don't know if popular culture is pushing women into men's functions or men's roles. And so let's just look at some examples of those things. Let's look at what is celebrated, because what is celebrated is what's being pushed. Because especially as women, we want to be celebrated. We don't want to be mocked. We don't want to miss out. We don't want to be the outcast of society. It's hard to go against the grain for us. That is why God has given us fathers and husbands to protect us. And I'm so grateful because I can say that. I'll just start with my own testimony. We'll start with that to begin with as an example. When I quit my job to become a homemaker, that was not something that was celebrated. I was not pregnant. I did not have children. So, in many eyes, thankfully, my family was very supportive. Obviously, Scott wanted me to come home. He was the biggest one. He had been wanting me to come home and quit my job for months before I actually had the courage to do so, and that is to my shame. I wish I had been obedient to my husband, but I had so much fear because of what culture and society celebrates and deems is good for a woman. And I thought if I quit my job to become a homemaker and to become a helpmeet to my husband before having children, then I am no longer adding value to society. That was the lie that I was believing at that time. If I quit my job to be a homemaker and a helpmeet to my husband, I am no longer adding value to society. And I can say that was almost 7 years ago. I'm coming up on 7 years of full-time being a homemaker. And I can say confidently that that is a lie from the pit of hell. I feel I have been so much more valuable to our home, to my husband, than I could have ever been while I was out working a job for someone else. And it wasn't easy because after I had quit my job, I knew when I had put, and I was working at Trader Joe's, so I was not working at some corporate thing that I went and got my degree in. Graphic design is what I got my degree in. So I wasn't working at this graphic design job. Although I was, and I had already quit my graphic design job to go to mission school, which had I never done that, I would have never met Scott. And so praise God for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And so when I quit my job to become Scott's helper, I had no vision for what it would look like for me to be a helper and homemaker without children. Because my whole life, all I had ever known, all I had ever seen was you can only be a homemaker once you have children. I hadn't seen that, so I didn't know what does it look like to be a homemaker without children. And so I didn't really have the right words to say to anyone when I said I'm quitting my job, and many ask me, well, what are you gonna do? And my response was, I'm gonna help my husband with his job, which was true, that was what I was doing. And then I said, I'm gonna work on my art, which was also true. I was trying to figure out how I could focus more on being creative, and I was still making my handbound journals at the time, so I was working on that and setting up little craft shows and selling that at different local businesses. But I said that because I thought those were maybe more acceptable things to say. I definitely didn't say homemaker because I don't think anyone would have even known what in the world I'm talking about, and I myself really didn't understand what it meant to be a homemaker without children at that time. And again, that's why I love the vision of the home as an economy, because that is my own testimony. That is how I learned that actually me being a wife at home is extremely helpful to our home economy and then therefore to our local economy. I can do far more within my home for our household, for my husband, Lord willing, for our future children, than I can just working a job outside of the home for a paycheck. But back to what's not celebrated as a culture in our society is women quitting their jobs to come home, because after I'd quit my job, I would still, I mean, still to this day I get questions, but I remember within a few months of quitting my job, someone actually said to me, what do? Just sit and watch Netflix all day? And I was so offended by that. I was like, no, we don't even have Netflix. And that's like not even what I would want to do, is sit and watch Netflix all day. And so that's why Scott and I always give the example of people just think, oh, a wife is at home eating Cheetos and watching Netflix, because that's literally what someone had asked me a few months after I'd quit my job, because that is what their vision was. They did not have the vision of the home being an economy, so that's what they thought. If a wife isn't out working a job, then she must just be lounging on the couch at home. And you know what's great is there are times when I do just lounge. Not because I'm lazy, but because I worked really hard and it's nice just to take a break and read a book or to watch a YouTube video. It's nice to just rest. I don't have a boss controlling me, telling me what to do for 8 hours of the day. So I can manage my time very well to where I can work times of rest into my day. When I had first quit my job and Scott was working, and whenever he came home, I felt like I needed to tell him exactly what I did all day, because it was really to myself of saying, see, like, I am busy, I am doing stuff, justifying me being home. And Scott said to me, you know, it's okay. You don't have to tell me everything that you do. I like hearing what you're doing all day, but you don't have to feel like you owe me what you did. And I would be okay if you just worshiped the Lord and sang. I would be okay if you sat outside and read a book. I felt like this peace came over me of like, wow, you're right. I have been in this working job mode that you then bring that culture of working into the home, and my husband isn't a tyrant boss that wants me slaving in the kitchen all day. He actually wants me to enjoy my life, which is a shock to most people when you talk about things like submission and being a homemaker and a helpmeet, they think that that means that you are a doormat or that you are living a life of drudgery, but it's actually the complete opposite. I have so much freedom. And we've talked about in our videos together of the whole saying, happy wife, happy life, and how that's just such a wrong vision because my husband can never make me happy. It should actually be a happy wife makes a happy life. I am the one who chooses to be cheerful. I cannot expect my husband to live to make me happy. And ironically, we've said in other videos, my husband does want me to be happy. But my happiness cannot come from him. It comes from the Lord. My joy comes from the Lord. My identity, my satisfaction in life has to come from Jesus. And then together we can enjoy a wonderful, peaceful life because I am not putting the pressure on my husband to make me happy. And so unfortunately, I do think that we live in a world where there are so many women who would love to be homemakers before having children, whether that's by choice or by they just haven't been able to get pregnant yet, and they are stuck in their jobs because of cultural shame. Because as a culture, we think that if women aren't working a job outside of the home, performing like men, then they aren't adding value to society. And so again, men are different from women. And I could even go into more detailed aspects of this, of our bodies are made uniquely different. I don't think that our cyclical bodies are made to do the work that man was made to do. I think we were meant to live within the cycle of our bodies. There are times in our cycle where rest is needed. There are times in our cycle where we are energized, ready to go, get things done. But when you're out working a job for someone else, they do not care about what time of the month that you're in. They could care less. They don't want to know. And so you are therefore treated like a man. Deal with it. Put up with it. And then I can't help but think, why are there so many women on so many medications? And I am convinced that it's because women are trying to function like men. They can't. So then they have a mental health collapse. They go to a doctor and then the doctor just prescribes them with medicine and therapy, and no one is getting to the root of maybe your design is woman and you're trying to function like a man, and therefore that's why your mental health is struggling, is because you are not functioning the way that God made you to function. I'm not a doctor, so this is not doctoral advice, obviously, but just to be clear. But that's example number one of living in a culture that treats men and women as if they are the same. Example number two is our young ladies and our young men. How androgynous is our conversations with 16 and 17 year old young ladies and young men? And I say that because what we say to young men is literally the same thing that we say to young women. Where are you going to college? What are you going to school for? You just all of a sudden put a frame that unless you're going to college, then you are dumb. And that is, again, the propaganda of government, universities. They've done an amazing job at this, I would call brainwashing, that if you do not go to university, you are dumb. So how many young people have gone to university because of social shame? Because they did not want people to think that they were dumb. Because unfortunately, that is the social stigma. And I did go to college. I went 15 or 16 years ago, I went to school. And I would say at that time, the verdict was still out. We didn't quite know. Our parents of my generation, they wanted the best for us and they thought that this was the best for us. And so we did. We all went. I think pretty much nearly everyone in my little rural high school, a lot of us, I would say most of us, did go to college. And that was kind of the times. We've seen the track record now. We can see where university has gone. We can see what they teach. We can see what they brainwash. We can see the damage from it. And so I just can't help but wonder, why is it that this is still the normal path? This should not be normal. The only reason why it's normal is because there has been a cultural brainwashing that that is the right thing to do. That if you don't do that, you are dumb. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get an education. And that's a lie. To think that education means university is not true. Education does not mean university. University can be a form of education. If you want to be an engineer, then you have to go to university. If you want to be a doctor, you have to go to university. If you want to be a lawyer, you have to go to university. But the only way to be educated is not through university. And I think it's just laughable that we, again, have been so brainwashed to think education means university. Education is learning. University is getting certified. Being a specialist in something. It is accreditation. It is not the only form of education. And I would say for most, it is not a good form of education. I would say for majority of young ladies, it is the worst form of, quotes, education. But what happens when a young lady, 16, 17, 18, decides that she's not gonna go to university? There is all of this fear and shame put around her of, well, what's your backup plan? What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you don't get married? What are you going to do if you do get married but your husband dies? What are you going to do? And all of these fears are burdened on her that if you don't go to university, then you are going to fail. You're going to have troubles in life. That is what young ladies are told. If a young lady says, well, I want to get married and I want to have children, they're taken aback. Like, you're so young. Why would you do that? You're so young. You have so much time. And can we not see that we're literally talking to our young ladies as if they are young men? Why don't you just go function as a man for a few years and maybe you'll get married and maybe then you'll be able to have children. Then you can be a woman. But first, you need to train to be a man in case you don't ever get a man. That's basically what we're saying. And how many women have been trained functioning as men and are now not married because that's literally what their plan A was to train, get a career, function in society, become masculine because much of functioning out in society through a career requires, as Samuel Osgood said in the quote that I said in my last video, his ruder nature and sterner will. So therefore, a woman then becomes more masculine. Masculine men are not drawn to the nature of a masculine woman. Most masculine men want feminine women, yet university often trains and equips women to become masculine. And so a way that we can move away from speaking androgynously to our young ladies and young men is to not fall into that culture frame of, where are you going to school? What are you going to school for? I avoid that phrase at all possible. Unless if a young lady is going to school and she tells me that she's going to school, then I'll obviously converse with her about that. But I am not going to start a conversation with a 17-year-old girl not knowing what she's doing and say, where are you going to school? Because if she's not going to school, then you've just put shame on her. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play into the cultural flow of all girls should be going to university or all girls are expected to go to university and you're the outlier if you don't. I, if anything, want it to be normalized for young ladies to not go to school. And that can be a whole nother conversation. And we've done many conversations about this on my channel with Scott. We've talked about this. I've done, I think, a few videos on my channel with this of the problem with college education and course grifters. And then I did a follow-up video of how are you supposed to meet your husband if you don't go to university? And so I will link those two videos below if you want more details on this topic. And I can always make videos about this topic in the future because I feel like it just never gets old to me. So we can change the way we talk to our young ladies. And you could even say, what are your hobbies? What are your interests? What do you like? How do you want to spend your time? And those are questions that you can ask that actually will engage their feminine nature. What are the things that they enjoy? What are they passionate about? That can lead to greater things of what she can do rather than just the college question. And I do want to be clear, I don't think that most people intend to think this way. It's just how we've been taught as a culture to think. It's just what's been normalized as a culture. So it takes time to actually change our own frame, to change our own vision of not falling into the culture's frame, but creating a different frame of, I'm not going to fall into the trap that everyone should go to university or the expectation that everyone is going to university. So I'm going to change my language in how I talk about these things, which takes practice because a lot of things just roll off of our tongue without even thinking about it until it comes out of our mouth. Sometimes I'll say things and then afterwards I'm like, I actually don't even believe that. Why did I say that? Why did I phrase it that way? I don't even believe that, but it just rolls off your tongue because that's just what's said. That's just what's normalized. And so there's no shame if you've said any of these things. I just think it's helpful to be aware of when you say these things, this is what you're implying, whether we realize it or not. Okay, so the last example I'm going to give on how a woman in society is treated androgynously and she is expected to function like a man is when a woman is married, she's working a job outside the home, and then she gets pregnant and she decides to quit her job to come home and be with her baby, whether it's right before she is due, or I know many women who thought they were gonna go back to their job. They have their baby, take their maternity leave, and while they're on maternity leave, they're like, oh, I can't leave my baby. I need to be with my baby. And then they quit their job. Instead of being celebrated, woo, praise God, you're doing what God made you to do. Well done. Wonderful. Praise the Lord that you're choosing to be home with your baby. Instead, often the mother is shamed with questions like, well, why are you putting the financial burden on your husband? Or, well, when do you plan on going back to your job? Or, I work a job outside of the home and I have kids. Why can't you? Or questions like, what about your career? What about what you went to school for? You worked so hard for this. Why would you just quit your career just to go home? And why do people think that way? Why do people ask those questions? It's because as a society, we have been trained to think that a woman's roles and functions are the same as a man. So if a man's out working a job, why can't you be out working a job? A woman should and can do anything that a man can do. And that is androgyny. And I feel like I have to caveat in all my videos because there are exceptions. There's obviously exceptions. There's obviously always going to be exceptions. And if you know you're the exception, you know that and you're aware of that. You're aware that, you know what, my situation's a little bit different. I understand that for most, it would be that's the ideal, but my situation's different. So if you're the exception, then there's grace for you to be the exception. God will give you the grace, the mercy needed for whatever season you're in, that you're the exception and you can make the best of that situation. I know that there are many of you who listen to my videos who are still out working a job outside of the home and you would love to be a homemaker, but for some reason you're not able to. And praise God for His grace and mercy that He always provides for us in every season of life. I can think of when I was working at Trader Joe's and I was there for the first year and a half of our marriage and there was grace for me to be there. Praise the Lord. But when the time was done, it was obviously done and I would have been being disobedient to God had I not quit my job when I did. And that's usually when you know, when the grace to be there is gone. I mean, Scott and I have felt that in many seasons of our life when, you know, we're praying about a decision and all of a sudden things just feel so hard. And it's like, why is this so hard? And often we look back and we were like, that was the grace of God. God stopped giving us grace for that thing in order to move us to where He wanted us to be for our good and for the good of the kingdom. And so if you're the exception, there is grace. But in general, it is good for a woman to be able to be home, to be able to have a flexible schedule. That is a huge blessing because then we can help our husbands. We can prioritize helping our husbands. We can prioritize our children. We can take care of our home. We can manage a home economy. We can be active contributors in our home and in our local community. And it is a lot harder when you're out working a job for somebody else outside of the home to do those things. I'm gonna wrap up this video with a quote from Eunice Beecher from 1873. And if the name Beecher sounds familiar to you, it's either because of Harriet Beecher Stowe, or I've mentioned Catherine Beecher in pretty much all of my home economy videos. Catherine Beecher was a huge proponent in the home economics movement, helping women to be educated in the domain of the home, learning skills that will be beneficial for helping her husband and raising her children. She had seen that many women were getting married and had no clue how to take care of their home, had no clue how to raise children. And so that was her whole purpose with trying to help women be the best that they could be for their home. And so Eunice Beecher was Catherine and Harriet's brother's wife. And so she said in 1873, "I see unrest, discontent, strife, and sin. I see girls, children, and years, from whose cheek the first blush of innocence, from whose soul the last vestige of youth have vanished. Women sold to frivolity, women wasting most precious gifts, women whose ambition has no higher object than to mislead and triumph over men. Men growing hard, selfish, and wicked, the slaves of their passions, going down to death with no hand to save, all for the lack of a true home. Then I remember that the home is the true kingdom of woman, where her rights can never be dethroned, that all pure love, all right thoughts, all religion, all governments, if you would have them live, must have their roots beneath its altar. This conviction impels me to say to every woman who has a home, let home stand first before all other things. No matter how high your ambition may transcend its duties, no matter how far your talents or your influence may reach beyond its doors, before everything else, build up a true home. Be not its slave, be its minister. Let it not be enough that it is swept and garnished, that its silver glistens, that its food is delicious. Feed the love in it. Feed the truth in it. Feed thought and aspiration. Feed all charity and gentleness in it. Then from its walls shall come forth the true woman and the true man, who together shall rule and bless the land." It's so interesting to me that this was from 1873, that she was already seeing a pattern of women leaving their homes, of women having unrest, discontent, strife, and sin. And I also find it interesting that she says, no matter how far your talents or your influence may reach beyond its doors, before everything else, build up a true home. Because that's often another comment that gets left on our videos is, well, what about the talented woman? Do you just want her wasting the talents that God has given her by being at home? And once again, then if you say that, then you don't see the home as a place for the kingdom of heaven to be on earth. Don't we want talented women raising our children? Don't we want women who are talented helping their husbands? It's, again, a lie to try to get women outside of the home to say that a woman within the home has wasted her talents. How many husbands and wives have completely separate missions, separate visions, because the wife is out pursuing her own unique talents? And I just don't think that that's what God envisioned when he created Adam and Eve, was, okay, well, I'm going to create both of you, but you're going to do your own thing. One flesh, not two separate visions causing a division. Marry someone who you want to do life with. Marry someone that together you will have a vision of how God has made you to, in your time on earth, how do you bring the kingdom of heaven to earth? How do you steward what God has given you? And as a woman, while prioritizing what it says in Titus 2. I hope that this video has been helpful for you today. I am going to go and work out in the garden. It's a beautiful day, so I hope that you have a lovely day wherever you are in the world. God bless you. If you like today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.